calamity besetting us on all three sides. Divishi sternly scolded his son, but he knew that his words were falling on deaf ears.
Ah, I don't know, father. I only heard that the mage held hands with the enemy of the world and decided to take a stab at it.
So, was Altugius someone you could handle?
He was plenty powerful. Honestly, I might lose by myself with my current abilities. That guy is a mage, but moved with the dexterity of an archer and suppressed me with magic that was difficult to dodge while sneaking in some powerful spells.
Kaz spoke without any particular joy in his expression or voice. Picked, who had been watching beside them, rose from his seat to leave. He didn't want to look at his more powerful and successful brother. Kaz peeked over at his brother's backside as he spoke again.
But father, I have learned it. I learned what Altugius's secret is.
Is that so?
That person is hiding a weapon called dimension magic. It was remarkable. If I hadn't retreated halfway through the fight, I would have been flattened like the vice captain.
It won't be too late to explain all of this later. For now, go to your dwelling and confine yourself.
Yes, I understand.
Kaz, who was returning from his scolding, met his youngest brother Picked again. Picked looked as though he was waiting for Kaz. He laughed as soon as he saw Kaz.
I'm going to hunt the followers of Calamity right now. Ah, is that right? With your strength?
When Kaz mocked him, Picked gave him a frosty glare and left.
Let's see how long you can mock me for. 10 years. I'll catch up to you in 10 years, you bastard.
Calling your brother a bastard, you bitch. Did I let you have it too easy for too long?
You only got the respect you wrought. Anyways, just watch. I'll bring the head of the enemy of the world.
Picked stuck out his tongue and disappeared into the darkness in a hurry. Kaz looked at such a brother with a smile and shook his head.
Cat up to me? You'll have to train for at least 1,000 years.
He said this, but he knew that his brother was a possessor of great talent. That kid had handled his first torture brilliantly. He unmistakably had the assassin's characteristic of brutality and apathy towards his victims.
Brat. Once you're a bit older, I'll guide you myself.
Picked was too lacking for Kaz to teach personally, but he planned on going on assassinations together with Picked after his brother accumulated more experience and intuition. Without knowing his brother had such intentions, Picked could only feel bitter towards Kaz.
A genius, my ass! I'll teach you that true geniuses need time to cultivate.
Picked's mission of the day was to hunt down the followers of Calamity picked out by the Inquisitor of Heresy. Divishi had told him it was enough to hunt down a single one, but Picked had decided for himself to find 3 of them and interrogate them all at once. He had failed his first interrogation due to a covenant that bound the man, but he knew he could succeed this time. He could still vividly feel his blade cutting through his victim's flesh.
Let's see.
There were mages wearing robes dyed in blue on the other side of the road. They were insignificant in Picked's eyes. They were weak folks that could be killed with a single slice, but his objective was live capture. He began to stalk the mages while waiting for his opportunity. His deft movements allowed him to roam from alley to alley while pursuing the mages diligently and watched with bated breath as the mages retreated to their individual quarters. Like beasts who lower their guards within their nests, humans were also the most relaxed within their beds. Christian, the slave hunter, had also been captured in his bed. Picked relived the sensation of that day and revealed himself slowly from the darkness. It was at that moment when he discovered a vague figure reflecting in the moonlight, standing on the ground beside him. There was no time to react before a hand gripped his throat. It contained a tremendous amount of strength. When the grip held his throat, he felt a terrifying pain as if his eyes would pop out and his brain would burst. Ugh! Rather than the cry of a person, it sounded like something from an ugly fowl. The man who held his throat soon spoke.
Are you guys the ones responsible for killing a slave hunter named Christian?
That person's identity was Sungchul. He relaxed his grip on the young assassin's throat ever so slightly with indifferent eyes.
Answer the question.
Instantly, Picked tried to squeeze all the strength in his body to let out a scream to call upon his family that had surrounded the area, but but Sung Cho's reaction on his throat was faster than the time it took for the voice to spill out from his throat. Picked could feel the voice being squelched within his throat and his vision being dyed with a yellow tint. Assassins are a tenacious bunch, as expected. Assassins of the Assassin's Guild were taught to tolerate pain from an early age. The result was that half-assed interrogations had no effect at all. Not only that, the greatest virtue of assassins was to put their mission ahead of their lives. They were actively developing and practicing countless methods of suicide in case any secrets could be leaked. Picked was also thinking up methods of taking his life. "This looks to be my limit." He firmly decided to take his life, regardless of the method, at the first opportunity. However, Sung Cho would not relinquish such an easy death to the assassin. He discovered torture tools and some effective medicine on Picked's body. Sung Cho tore Picked's clothes and shoved it down his throat before striking his right arm. Picked's arm twisted in a strange direction before being torn away in a mess. The youth thrashed about wildly, but he couldn't let out a scream. "I have no intention of interrogating you, assassin." Sung Cho applied Picked's medicine to the open wound before hanging the feline mask to the wall with Picked's arm placed below it. Then he wrote a message with the blood flowing from Picked's arm that was cut off. "If you wish to save the kid, come inside. You must come alone." Sung Cho forcefully turned Picked's head to have him witness the message. "You lot sure like to think your level of brutality is something spectacular." Sung Cho dragged Picked in a way so that his stump of an arm, which bled despite the medicine, painted the floor red, and then threw him into a storage room. The blood stain marked the route from the feline mask to the storage room like a red carpet. "Today, I'll teach you a little about brutality." Sung Cho leaped onto the roof of a building where he had a clear view of both the mask and the storage room. A different assassin soon followed in. It was Mira, who dealt in venomous insects. She flinched at the scene of Picked's mask and amputated right arm. They were assassins trained to tolerate great amounts of physical pain, but in the end, they were still human. They were apathetic towards their victims, but warm towards one of their own. She hesitated again at the message written in Picked's blood, but she stepped forward as though she had already prepared her heart.
"No, sister, don't come in!"
Picked flailed about with all his might, but it was all pointless. Mira mentally prepared herself for battle and slowly moved step by step into the storage room. It didn't take long before a dark shadow appeared behind her. The man had appeared like a ghost. Before she had time to blink, he grabbed the back of her head and lifted her straight up, only to smash it down into the ground and grind her face against the rough floor. The feline mask shattered, and Mira's bloody face revealed itself. Sung Churl, who had shredded her face across the floor, tied a rope around her neck and lifted her above him. The person's body spun around like some toy. At that moment, all the venomous insects hidden on her body rained down onto the floor. Mira gripped the rope tied around her neck with both hands and all of her strength, but ultimately succumbed to exhaustion and fell unconscious. Sung Churl had no intention of allowing her a comfortable death either. He slugged her bloodied face to wake her up before hanging her upside down in front of Picked. Sung Cho glared at Picked before speaking in a steady voice. "Are you guys the ones who killed a slave hunter named Christian?" Picked did not answer. Sung Cho searched the floor while stomping on the venomous insects until he found the most suitable one. It was the stink bug that lays eggs in human flesh. Sung Cho grabbed the stink bug and held it over Mira's body until it laid its eggs. Mira's body resisted weakly, but Sung Cho kept his eyes on Picked. Picked realized that the man had no intentions of showing mercy. At that moment, a miracle occurred. Mira, who looked as though she had lost consciousness, suddenly opened her eyes.
"Picked, I'll be going first."
Mira's bloodied eyes shook violently before they rolled over, revealing only the whites of her eyes. Sung Churl confirmed her death indifferently. Picked found renewed confidence at his sister's exemplary death and glared at Sung Churl with hate-filled eyes once again.
"Try whatever interrogation you want. I'll take it all with the name of the Almeida family at stake.
However, Sung Churl gave it no importance. He let Mira's corpse fall to the ground and squatted down to start some kind of procedure. The stench of blood began to flood the room. Sung Churl then held the corpse and walked out of the storage room. His two hands held Mira's corpse that hadn't even cooled yet and pressed on it tightly. Soon, something unbelievable occurred. The corpse began to cry out. It was something unintelligible, but it had Mira's distinct vocals. Sung Churl held the corpse and looked puzzled before muttering to himself.
It's not working so well since I haven't done it in so long.
He lifted the corpse and began to manipulate it to his whim. Mira's jaw flew open and let out a terrifying shriek, much more strongly. Pict, who was watching the scene, knew the monster's intentions.
That bastard! He's calling them! He's calling my family!
It would be problematic for more victims to come out of this incident. Pict began to thrash about wildly to draw Sung Churl's attention to himself, and when his eyes finally met Sung Churl's, he nodded vigorously.
That's right! I killed that slave hunter! We done now? You happy?
Sung Churl only continued to look at him indifferently and shook his head.
I'm just getting started.
On a tall throne, there sat a man wearing a golden suit of armor. He looked to be in his early 30s by appearance, with his thick blonde hair and faded blue eyes, exuding a powerful spirit. William Quinton Marlborough. People of this world referred to him as the Emperor of the Human Empire. He received a report that a seemingly insignificant man sought an audience with him, who was the leader of the most powerful nation in Otherworld. Typically, he would have been stopped at the gate, but the man said that he must show some object to the Emperor. The Emperor wasn't pleased with it, but he did feel curious. He commanded the man be brought to his throne. A middle-aged man, with a naive look about him, was brought 100 paces before the throne and made to kneel. The royal guards received some item from the man and presented it cordially to the Emperor. William flicked his fingers and manipulated the wrapped object into the air from the soldiers who had brought the item and had it float to him. The item was wrapped in a silk cloth. When he unraveled the cloth, he found that it contained a single sword made of ivory. A low rumble escaped from the Emperor's mouth. The scene 25 years ago, when he had completed the summoning palace and entered Golden City, appeared before his eyes.
Allow him within 50 paces.
The middle-aged man hurriedly stepped forward and bowed down before the line marked bright red. The Emperor finally asked his question.
Who gave you the sword?
The middle-aged man readily answered his question.
The enemy of the world, your majesty, the Emperor.
The middle-aged man spoke his account of the events without reservation. A faint smile formed on William's lips.
You've finally shown yourself, Sung Churl.
He rose from his throne and looked at his surroundings.
Which of our military units are closest to Golden City?
An armored man answered from a distance with a bow.
It's the Second Armada led by our retainer, Dmitry Medyov.
The Second Armada.
The Emperor stroked his beard as he fell into thought, then gestured grandly with his arm before making his command.
Send the Second Armada to Golden City. Their objective is the destroyer, Sung Churl Kim. Eliminate him at all costs.
When the Emperor's words were spoken, the military commanders quickly began to move. Mages wearing white uniforms used the stone of telepathy to make communications, and a platoon of Dragon Knights rode their wyverns into formation towards the north. As the entire empire stirred awake, the Emperor gazed towards the distant north with his cloudy blue eyes in deep thought.
It's been 8 years already.
8 years ago. The most influential existences within the continent were gathered to halt the upcoming calamity. They were named the 13 Champions of the Continent. Currently, the title exists only as a type of formality, but in the past, the title was used to represent the group of people who were the only hope the denizens of Otherworld had of salvation from calamities. Unexpectedly, They betrayed that grand expectation in a spectacular way. Only a single voice among them shouted in rebellion, but no one was listening. That man soon took on the moniker of the enemy of the world.
Sung Churl, why have you returned?
A question rose in the Emperor's eyes. Within a dark basement, Altugius was tied in the center like a piece of meat ready to be butchered. Thwack! A whip with sharp hooks tore away the flesh of his back. Altugius felt his sight turn yellow as he let out a painful scream, but the torturer had no such mercy. They proceeded to flog him every 10 seconds without rest. Altugius' back looked pitifully ragged, caked with dried blood and torn. His consciousness was hanging by a thread. The Inquisitor of Heresy, Maxima, appeared as he was drawing his final few breaths.
Bestow the grace of the God of Order upon this man.
The servants, wearing crow masks, used restoration magic on Altugius's body. The wounds on his split back became sealed, the pain receded, and the light behind his eyes returned. As some of his consciousness came back to him, he recognized the man standing before him and let out a shout.
How could you do this to me?
The Inquisitor of Heresy held up a hand, and the torturer struck Altugius's abdomen with the hard shaft of the whip. It felt as though it would pierce his gut. Altugius spat out a glob of dark blood. The aggravating noise of clanging metal chains echoed in the small room. When some semblance of silence returned, the Inquisitor of Heresy spoke softly.
Cero Altugius, you have bravely fought for the revival of Erfrut until now.
Then why do you do this to me?
Altugius gathered a series of shallow breaths to speak. The Inquisitor raised his hand in response, making the people within the torture room rush out like the tide. When they were left alone in the eerie torture chamber, the Inquisitor put his hands behind his back and began to circle Altugius slowly.
The situation has become much worse, Altugius. Did you know that the enemy of the world has been spotted here?
The enemy of the world?
Whenever the enemy of the world appears, the most powerful within the continent will be advised to send their forces. It means that the Crusaders of the New World will be formed. I have an obligation to finish things here before those people arrive. In other words, there is now a need to pick up the pace.
What does that have to do with me? Why do I have to be in this state?
Altugius shook his chained arms. On the other end, the Inquisitor didn't show even the smallest of movements. Like an object in a painting, a small voice muttering beneath his mask rang out.
It is quite unfortunate, but I have decided to put you up for execution. I have concluded that it is the only way to clean up the various problems plaguing Erfrut.
How is that the only solution?
Maxima replied to Altugius's question with an odd laughter. It was a laughter that sounded like the final gasping breath of a patient dying from a virulent disease. Altugius opened his eyes wide and looked towards the Inquisitor. Finally, he spoke.
Soon the teaching staff under Robert Denton shall all be killed by the hands of the Assassin's Guild. That will leave you as the final pillar upholding Erfrut. What will happen then when I pluck out that final pillar?
It was then when Altugius finally grasped the true intentions of the Inquisitor.
You mean to get rid of Erfrut?
The Inquisitor nodded.
20 years ago, I was found to be mediocre by Erfrut and left the school of my own volition. I spent many sleepless nights forced to watch a bastard son of a mistress take my rightful place and wield the powers of my birthright.
For such a petty reason?
The Inquisitor's body squirmed in an odd way at Altugius's rebuke. He turned away from Altugius with strange movements akin to a wind-up doll, then slowly took off his crow mask. Altugius let out a brief scream at the sight. Beneath the mask, there was a mummified face of a corpse. He was not dead. Hot blood flowed within his veins, pumped by a still-beating heart. It was intense tenacity through a nightmarish hell that had turned his face into what it was. The Inquisitor put on his mask again after revealing his true face, then spoke poetically.
My motivation may seem petty to you, but to me, it might be something important enough to stake my destiny on. Conversely, your haughty motivation might look as petty to me.
The Inquisitor clapped, signaling the torturers and guards to enter the torture room once again. He moved past them and spoke in a low voice.
The execution will proceed tomorrow at noon.
Altugius did not speak again. He thought of Sarasa, who would be waiting for him alone.
No, I can't die like this.
However, the chains that bound him were all too solid. The torturers held their whips. A flashing blade cut through the throat of a mage in the cover of darkness. The mage took a mortal wound before he could even open his eyes and scream. Davishi put a pillow on the face of the wounded mage to confirm his kill. The mage gripped the hand that held down the pillow and thrashed about wildly before it lost its strength and slid away. This was the fifth one. Davishi had managed to wipe out the teaching staff of the School of Pyromancy in a single day. A similar series of events would be happening over in the next room. His wife, from the Grimada family, Ilya Almeida, released venomous scorpions to kill the head disciples of the School of Pyromancy. Dozens of people died in their sleep, completely clueless to the cause. The couple who had now finished their silent slaughter met up at the entrance to the School of Pyromancy. Two headless corpses were growing cold at the entrance. Davishi looked toward the dark sky and spoke.
All done?
Yes, all done. Not a single one left.
Ilya pushed back a scorpion trying to escape her sleeve and made a sinister smile. Davishi wiped off a bloodied sword and began to think.
Just the School of Cryomancy left. Picked and Mirror. I hope they're doing well.
Davishi thought this as he looked over to his wife and spoke softly.
Anyways, I'm not sure if Mira's side is going well.
Should I go and find out?
At Ilya's question, Davishi nodded. He was a traditional assassin with a serious and cautious personality. At the very least, he liked to avoid any risks and succeeded his tasks without any losses. But due to this, they were unexpectedly rated abysmally by his peers, and so his family was ranked the lowest among the four great assassin families. Despite this, he never regretted his decisions about his methods. His family was far more important than some ranking. Ilya, who knew this about her husband, pulled out a small bottle and opened it. There was a blue-winged moth inside that crawled out and wiggled its antennas in the night sky before flying off somewhere. The moth was called the lovebird moth. It was one of the few bugs that Ilya had with no venomous or dangerous properties. However, it had a very unique and useful ability. The male of the lovebird moth is known to seek out its consort across any distance. The lovebird moth, released by Ilya, expectedly flew off rapidly in search of a companion. Finally, it found its mate inside a dark warehouse. However, its mate was unfortunately squashed into an unrecognizable shape. The moth raised itself and began to fly back out into the night sky. A figure in the darkness watched the direction in which the moth flew off to. It was Sung Churl. Behind him were two corpses hanging side by side. These were the corpses of Mira and Pict. Sung Churl, who looked to be frozen for a moment, left behind the two corpses and made a beeline towards the direction of the moth. The lovebird moth split the night sky as it made its way to its owner, then landed on her hand. Ilya's face froze.
Honey, there's a problem.
Davishi was not shaken.
You're sure?
Yes. It lost its mate.
Davishi let out a shallow sigh and disappeared into the darkness.
Let's fall back.
His body slowly turned into fog and melted into the night. Ilya melded into that fog to hide herself. However, Ilya soon discovered hostility in the air lurking nearby. She had discovered hostile rumblings in her webs cast about in the surroundings and spoke quietly.
Honey, it's an enemy.
Is it him?
Most likely.
Davishi instantly calculated the amount of power he possessed, along with any other advantages that he might have.
Enemy of the world.
His strength is estimated at 600. Dexterity and vitality are known to be about 500. His combat strategy is just one. Oppressively crush with sheer stats. It is the most simple but effective strategy.
After a quick deliberation, he knew that he currently had no chance of winning. He might be able to delay and escape if his strongest son Kaz was here, but at this rate, he would die a pointless death.
Honey?
Divishi hid his expression. Ilya caught on to his intent and nodded before looking at her husband with tearful eyes.
I'll buy us some time. I should be able to delay him for at least 3 minutes. At the very least, you must escape to find Kaz and leave this place. Tell the client that the bastard is here.
I understand.
Ilya kissed his cheeks a final time before disappearing into the night. This was the last farewell between the assassin lovers. Divishi, who was now alone, regained his original expression and waited for his oppressive enemy to arrive. Soon, a man in worn-out clothing waded out of the darkness.
He looks different. I had heard he was a giant over 2 meters tall.
The man who appeared in the darkness spoke.
Are you the head of the assassins?
That's right. I'm Divishi Almeira, the 32nd head of the Almeira family.
Divishi replied honorably, reaffirming his plans once again.
3 minutes. I have to hold firm with the belief that this is my final stand.
However, before even 3 seconds had passed, Divishi knew that he was outmatched by a monster much stronger than he had ever realized. He died instantly as his skull shattered with a single blow to the head. Sung Cho watched the figure of the woman fleeing in the distance after his kill, but he didn't pursue right away. He patiently stalked his prey until it guided him to its nest, but the prey appeared to have caught on to his plans. She led him to an odd location, then turned around.
Kill me too, enemy of the world!
Ilya's eyes, swirling with tears and vengeance, glared at him as she let loose all of her venomous insects in her possession. There were so many that it looked as though a black smoke was spewing from her body. Sung Churl pulled out his beloved Falgaraz. Ilya's expression froze.
You might be able to kill us tonight, but our family will live on.
Sung Churl swung Falgaraz. Ilya's form was swept away with her venomous insects. Sung Churl watched the mixture of human and insect viscera dripping around his feet with indifference, then stared off into the night sky.
Was she talking about that guy from before?
He already knew the face of the last surviving member of their clan, as well as the client who had hired them. That was enough. That day, the entirety of the Almeira family that had spread fear through the continent had been killed, except the eldest son. In that same moment, those wearing crow masks were raising a pyre at the entrance of Airfruit Academy. Chapter 20. Primordial Light. At the break of dawn, Airfruit became a place of horrors. The teaching staff of pyromancy that had been leading the corrupted school had been slaughtered, and their promising students had all met their deaths. Those who were still around gathered in disparate groups and wandered the campus, seeking the assassins with tensed nerves and torches in hand, while the rest lined up the corpses and mourned the dead. Sung Churl arrived at this time. A group of students holding torches stood in his path. It was because of his unusual appearance.
Who are you? Identify yourself!
A man shouted bravely. 5 staves were trained in Sung Churl's direction. Sung Churl glared at them and spoke curtly.
I am a student here.
At this point, one of the students recognized him.
Wait, this man. I've seen him before. Put away the staves.
It was a student wearing a robe dyed in blue. He asked for discretion from his fellow students, then approached Sung Churl to speak to him discreetly.
You're the fellow from the School of Alchemy, right? I greet you. I am a junior at the School of Cryomancy named Shidong. It is truly a blessing for you to have survived this fearful night.
It was apparent that the man wished to become an acquaintance of Sung Churl. When Sung Churl remained silent, he offered to lead the way to Professor Danton.
Did he also survive?
Sung Churl didn't know of all the casualties yet. He knew that the Almeida family had been behind the attack on the school, but he had no way to know where their blades had been directed. Shidong briefly spoke of the known casualties so far.
For now, It isn't an exaggeration to say that the school of pyromancy has been completely obliterated. The teaching staff has been wiped out. There are plenty of rumors, but I think that the Assassin's Guild might be behind this attack.
The School of Cryomancy had suffered almost no casualties, according to the man's report. It would most likely be like this because Sung Churl intervened before the Almeida family could fully commit themselves to the assault on the school. He decided to wait until later to consider this a blessing or a curse. Meanwhile, he took up Shidon's offer to be guided toward the School of Cryomancy, which was believed to be the most secure building on campus.
"You were quite fortunate to be able to survive this horrid night unscathed,"
Robert greeted Sung Cho warmly, and he nodded in response. Sung Cho then spoke of everything he had seen at the entrance.
"It looks as though the Order of Purity will burn Professor Altugius on the pyre."
But for some reason, Robert looked unfazed at the fate of his fellow professor.
"Whether that stubborn old fool dies or not is none of our concern. The most important news is that the Assassin's Guild has attacked us. In other words, the Inquisitor of Heresy has drawn his blade."
He didn't hide his anger. His eyes burned with vigor and a twisted smile formed on his lips.
"If the Inquisitor wants to play like that, we also have our ways."
"Our ways?"
Robert let out a carefree laughter and nodded his head.
"Our way to retaliate, that is."
All Robert had was a handful of mages beneath him. Furthermore, the majority of the fighting force, other than Robert and the teaching staff, were students. Sung Churl judged them to at most be able to clean up the mob soldiers of the Order of Purity.
"Follow me, my friend protected by the ancient kingdom. I will reveal to you our secret weapon."
Robert brought Sung Churl and a small number of guards down to a basement. He swung his staff at a wall of the basement where musty air flowed, and then the aged bricks began shifting to reveal a secret passageway. Sung Churl recognized that the passageway looked relatively new compared to the rest of the architecture.
"Only a few know the truth that our former headmaster, the Grand Magnus, was a follower of Calamity."
Robert watched a few gutter rats become spooked and scurry away before he spoke again.
"However, most people with a similar status to me should have suspected it. It was challenging to find any mage who dissented against the great mage, Balzac, when he was recruiting for the followers of Calamity."
"Is that so?"
"It was even worse among the higher-ranked mages, since they had already hit a plateau. They needed some way to break through their limitations, something to stimulate their growth. Like..."
At that, they had reached the end of the tunnel where an enormous golem stood in their path. As Danton shook his staff, the golem moved to the side, and the end of the tunnel revealed itself to Sung Churl. Unlike the passage covered in darkness, they approached an area filled with light. They could see nothing but the vague mass of light in the distance, and as soon as Sung Churl stepped into this area, he could see his surroundings right away. They were inside a massive cave with a spherical structure that stood in the center.
"Like this,"
Robert said with pride in his voice, and Sung Churl's eyes lit up.
"It's a dimensional door."
Large forces, such as the Human Empire and the Ancient Kingdom, had set up massive dimensional doors in several places to move their large military forces. It wasn't immediately clear why a dimensional door was needed at a magic academy, but Robert quickly provided an explanation.
"This dimensional door is connected to the demon realm."
"Huh?"
"The former headmaster had completed most of it, but it lacked a few critical components. With the funds that you provided, I was finally able to complete the dimensional door."
Robert spoke in an excited voice. Sung Churl looked back toward the dimensional door and then at Robert with a cold gaze.
"What's the grand plan?"
Robert let out another carefree laugh and pointed towards the dimensional door.
"At high noon today, Altugius will be executed according to the notice put out by the Inquisitor of Heresy. Much of the Inquisitor's force will be gathered there as well. That is when I will utilize the dimensional gate."
Robert flicked his finger, which caused a flower of ice to form in the air and then shatter.
"After that, they'll become like this, all due to the unexpected visit from the forces of the devil in Golden City."
Robert's heroic laughter echoed within the large cave, while Sung Churl only gazed at the spectacle quietly.
"This dimensional gate, how do you activate it?"
The underground prison of the Inquisitor of Heresy was not a place just anyone could enter. They had to satisfy one of two requirements. They had to be sentenced by the Inquisitor of Heresy, or they had to provide enough bribes to satisfy the wardens. Sung Churl entered the dimly lit underground prison through the latter method.
Be quick. You have until the Inquisitor finishes his midnight prayer.
The warden with the crow mask tactfully retreated. Sung Churl flung open the unlocked door and stepped into the torture chamber. Within the center of the chamber, there was an unconscious man whose body showed apparent signs of torture while being held in chains. Sung Churl approached him. Altugius regained a bit of consciousness and put in some effort to open his swollen eyes. His eyes, peering through the thin gap his eyelids created, were filled with fear. His stubborn spirit had been drained out of him during the span of the torture. Sung Churl, who had seen his powerful personality when the man had fought against Kaz and when he had chased away Leonard, felt a bit of pity towards his current transformation.
It is your disciple.
Sung Churl revealed his identity before Altugius could get a good look at him. Altugius's body shook ever so slightly.
Sung Churl Kim, are you actually here?
When Sung Churl nodded, Altugius desperately rushed to speak.
Water. I need some water.
Sung Churl looked around his surroundings. There was some water in a few barrels, but it was tainted with blood and filth. Sung Churl opened his soul storage to pull out a transparent bottle that blended with the surroundings and brought it to Altugius's lips. When a single drop of liquid from the container touched his tongue, Altugius's eyes flew open. A miraculously refreshing sensation traveled from the tip of his tongue to the rest of his body. Sung Churl drained the contents of the bottle completely into his mouth.
What a remarkable flavor of water. Thank you. I feel as though my vigor is returning.
Altugius would never know the truth, even in his dreams. What Sung Churl had given him was the sap of the world tree grown in the land of the fairies.
Okay then, why have you come here?
After regaining his senses, Altugius looked towards Sung Churl and asked in a low voice. So Sung Churl let known his intentions.
I came here to learn the secret of cosmomancy.
A sigh escaped Altugius's mouth.
What a waste. I don't have it with me at the moment.
Then?
The secret lies in the place that I've spent my life guarding. The observatory of the School of Cosmomancy.
The observatory of the School of Cosmomancy?
If I weren't a prisoner, I would follow your side to deliver you the secret. But as of now, it is not so easy.
I shall break you out then. Altugius simply shook his head weakly.
I would keep my life if I escaped, but I will not be able to deliver you the secret of cosmomancy. It takes a considerable amount of time to inherit the secret of cosmomancy, and Maxima Magnus will not stand by once he hears of my escape.
You are quite honest. Other mages would have begged and pleaded for freedom, regardless of their actual intentions to keep any promises made. It was the modus operandi of mages which Sung Churl had ceaselessly dealt with. Following what Sung Churl said, Altugius obtusely asked as he looked wide-eyed,
why bother lying about something soon to be discovered anyway?
A faint smile formed on Sung Churl's lips. I only said so because there never seems to be an end of people willing to make those short-lived lies. Altugius too broke into a smile, but it was soon replaced with an expression of deep concern.
Can I ask a single favor from you?
Is it about your granddaughter?
That's correct. Please, take care of Sarasa for me. I don't mean forever, but her father lives along the frontier borders of the Demon Realm, far north.
Sarasa's father?
He should be active as a mercenary mage at the Storm Battlefront under the alias Deckard. He's a man-child, constantly busying himself in the harsh Demon Realm, trying to save the world. Please, lead Sarasa to that man. It won't be the secret of cosmomancy, but he shall provide an adequate reward in return.
Sung Churl lowered his head as though in thought.
Time's up. It's about time for the midnight prayer to end.
The annoyed voice of the warden rang out in the distance. Sung Churl raised his head once again, then looked towards Altugius. It was a gaze that was like the calm sky of a starry night.
I am sorry, but I will have to learn the secret of cosmomancy.
Altugius's face was filled with horror.
But at this moment, I will be back at a more appropriate time.
Leaving behind these ambiguous words, Sung Churl left the dimly lit torture chamber. Altugius looked towards Sung Churl's back with a complicated gaze mixed with terror and anticipation.
Just who is that man?
He could already figure out that the man was not ordinary, but his limited knowledge could not even guess at what his identity might be. The individual named Sung-Chul Kim was such a man. Sarasa was looking at her face in the mirror. One half retained the beauty of her life, while the other had the grotesque form of a mummified corpse. However, Sarasa did not despair or falter. She calmly asked the man who was facing away from her.
You want me to keep packing?
Sung-Chul nodded. By noon today, you and your grandfather will be escaping this place together.
Will that be possible with your strength? I will do all I can to help, replied Sarasa.
The eye on the decayed half revealed a sharp gaze. However, Sung-Chul shook his head.
You would only be a burden.
Do you really think of me as being so weak?
Sarasa let out a laugh. At this point, he quietly took out his beloved weapon. Falgaraz, the most powerful hammer, said to be forged by the dwarven gods, caused the very air surrounding it to destabilize and tremble in its sheer presence. Sarasa, who saw the weapon, was filled with terror.
Is that Falgaraz?
There was a single incident that had shaken Otherworld before her death. It was the earth-shattering news that a devilish man known as the Enemy of the World had destroyed the Temple of the Dwarves and had stolen their holy weapon. She had only heard of the name then and learned of its origins and appearance by researching it within the library. The holy weapon that she had seen only through books had graced her with its appearance. The awe and danger she felt now were incomparable to what could be felt through illustrations. The man holding the weapon finally opened his mouth to speak.
I am Sung-Chul Kim.
It was neither an alias nor just a man with the same name. He was literally the former 10th champion of the continent, the man who is now better known as the Enemy of the World.
I can't believe it. Why would that Sung-Chul come to us?
I have sworn by my name to rescue you and your grandfather.
Sarasa gripped her fists tight. What was there to say if none other than the most dangerous man in the world had promised to protect you?
Kew, kew.
As though it understood Sarasa's torrent of emotions, the sky squirrel within her grasp began to bother her for kibbles. Sarasa stole a peek at her sleeves out of the corner of her eyes and petted the sky squirrel's head.
Kaz looked over the corpses of his family members in disbelief. Everything had happened in a single night. His brother, sister, and parents had all met their untimely demise without discretion.
Are these the corpses of your family members?
A man wearing a shiny golden helmet asked matter-of-factly. The ones that gathered the bodies were the Dragon Knights of the Human Empire that had been dispatched to Golden City last night. They swiftly dispersed within the entirety of Golden City to seek out any traces of the most dangerous man, which led them to find the unsightly form of the four corpses.
They are my family's remains.
Kaz gritted his teeth as he spoke, then looked around his surroundings before shouting,
Where is this enemy of the world? Where did that bastard go?
The forward team is tracking the enemy of the world. You don't have to concern yourself with that. The air fleet led by Retainer Medyoff will arrive here soon. When the military might of the air fleet is on full display, there will be nowhere for even the enemy of the world to escape to.
Kaz nibbled on his nails as he held his silence. He felt as though his anger would explode out of his chest, but the cold calculations of an assassin led him to believe in the Dragon Knight's words.
On a subject besides the enemy of the world, the Inquisitor of Heresy from the Order of Purity sent notice that a purification will occur today at the Airfruit Magic Academy. If there is any indication that the enemy of the world has joined hands with the heretics of Airfruit, it may be that he'll show his face at that location.
The knight fixed his helmet, then hopped onto the large wyvern waiting for him. The wyvern rose up into the sky with an ear-splitting cry as it flapped its massive wings. The air current formed by its wings caused Kaz's hair and clothes to thrash about wildly. Kaz, who stood alone now, gave a silent prayer to his family's remains, then left the scene.
Sung-Chul Kim, You will die by my hands. His eyes flashed with killing intent, denser than ever before.
When the sun reached its peak, those that wore shining armor gathered in front of Airfruit Academy. A pyre with wood stacked high sat beside an aged tree decorated with dangling corpses with rotting flesh. The Inquisitor of Heresy, who was still wearing his crow mask, arrived in a palanquin with a solemn atmosphere about him. A bloodied old man with his hands tied behind him rode on a donkey which followed the carriage. The executioner pulled the man off the donkey and tied him onto the pyre, while cuffs that interfered with magic activation were strapped on the old man's wrists. A priest in a crow mask appeared in front of the restrained old man on the pyre, holding a long scroll, then listed his sins one by one.
Sinner Altugius Zero. Despite his responsibilities as a professor of a magic academy and a guardian of knowledge, could not overcome the temptations of corruptive knowledge and had fallen to become a member of the followers of Calamity. For the countless crimes that he has committed and the greatest crime of murdering his friend and superior, the Grand Magnus.
Altugius shut his eyes and did not refute a single charge. Trying to reason now was an effort in futility, and shouting and begging would only serve to further humiliate himself. He wanted an honorable death as a student and educator of the hallowed Airfruit Academy, even though the servant in the crow mask continued listing false crimes while smearing his image, he no longer cared for it. Still, he had but a single regret. He sought out through the crowd of countless people in the plaza for a single face through cracked eyes.
Sarasa.
He couldn't find his precious granddaughter, who was the apple of his eye. It could have been that she alone hadn't heard the news from the House of Recollections, or the man named Sung Churl had taken her away from here.
For this, Altugius Cero has been charged for judgment by the purifying fire.
The announcement of his execution, which he had ignored for a brief moment, rang out clearly in his ears. Altugius let out a dull sigh before gazing out towards the people staring at him. They were students wearing robes of various colors, professors of unpopular schools, and faces that he had met once or twice without knowing their names. He discovered anew that their faces were drained of energy with shadows of depressive dread looming over them. It might have been due to the endless years of deterioration wearing down on him, or out of the literal fear of imminent doom. But he didn't like it. The school he had protected his whole life was far more honorable, worthy, and proud than any other. Altugius's mouth, which had been tightly shut during this whole time, opened shortly after his execution had been announced.
"Why are you looking at me with rotten eyes like some dead fish?" Altugius suddenly shouted.
It was a booming voice that couldn't have come from a dying old man.
"Even if I die, or the scraps of the followers of Calamity die, Airfruit will remain. Are you all not the proud educators and pupils of the proud school of Airfruit? Even if we are unable to practice magic someday, Airfruit will live on as long as even a single person etches the name Airfruit into his heart. It will live on!"
Altugius agitated the shame within the survivors. Their ashamed faces looked towards the floor and let out a sigh. Altugius turned his head and then glared at the Inquisitor of Heresy, who was sitting arrogantly in the corner of the plaza. The Inquisitor didn't react, as usual, but Altugius smiled towards such a man and soundlessly mouthed a message. "Talentless bastard." No sound could be heard, but the message was deciphered clearly by the Inquisitor. His hand rose. Suddenly, a massive magic formation appeared at that moment.
"Look at that! It is the air fleet!
It's the flag of the human empire! The air fleet of the human empire has arrived!"
Following a ship resembling a massive plate, a total of 6 ships appeared above Golden City airspace from the dimensional door. It was the appearance of the oppressive airship fleet that represented the might of the human empire. Dmitry Medyov, a powerhouse within the human empire, was looking at the distant ground below with a scornful gaze within the flagship Bengard.
"The enemy of the world appeared here. He's got balls. Why couldn't he just continue to linger around the demon realm? How dare he show his face this deep into the continent? He swung his baton as he barked his orders. Disperse the ground forces to seal this city!
At the same moment, a particular man was looking over the scene from Robert Danton's study with aloof eyes. The man was Sung Chul. He quickly ran to the secret passageway, and then stopped to gaze up at the dimensional gate which stood at the center of a large cavern hidden underneath the academy. Several corpses were lying about with eyes wide open around the dimensional door's activation device. Sung Chul approached Robert's corpse at the center of the many corpses and tore away the necklace around his neck. It was the key to the activation of the dimensional door. The slabs of stones surrounding the dimensional door rotated slowly as soon as the amethyst key was entered. The rotation of the stones grew increasingly rapid until it caused a crack in the space at the center of the dimensional door.
Oh, are you really going through with it?
Bertelgia asked from his pocket. Sung Chul nodded as he looked over at the dimensional door.
It's to reduce casualties as much as possible. The demons are easier to fight against than me.
Sung Chul saw a familiar earthen flame beyond the crack. At the same time, he could also hear cries of beasts in the distance. Sung Chul left the cave while leaving the dimensional door activated. The execution was about to proceed. The man wearing the crow mask was pouring oil over the wood, and the executioner with a torch was waiting for his moment. The Inquisitor of Heresy rose from his seat and held up his hand as all the preparations were finished, and the moment he lowered his hands, the pyre below Altugius would light ablaze. The Inquisitor's hand soon fell. The torch fell onto the wood below, and it began to burn with dark smoke pouring into the air. Altugius shut both his eyes and prepared himself for death. But at that moment, a powerful gust of wind blew onto the execution ground with enough force to blow away Altugius's beard, if not even his skin. The fire that had been growing with vigor disappeared without a trace, and the execution ground fell silent. One of the students gathered the courage to look over in the direction of the wind.
That man is...
One of the alchemy students pointed a finger at the man in question. The man who wore a tattered field jacket with shabby jeans was a famous figure within the School of Alchemy. However, he was holding an item that hadn't been seen on him before. It was a beautiful and extraordinary hammer with a lengthy shaft.
Who is it?
The Inquisitor of Heresy roared in anger. Sung Chul suddenly moved. His movements weren't fast or slow, but they exuded heavy pressure that didn't allow just anyone to stand in its way. The soldiers of the Inquisitor wearing glamorous armor hesitated, making the sergeants and the commissioned officers bark their orders at them.
What are you waiting for? Stop that man!
With the command, the soldiers pulled out their short swords and stood before Sung Chul.
Slam!
A dull sound filled the execution ground. The people could see dozens of soldiers flying into the air. These dozens were blown away by a single blow of the hammer. Sung Chul pushed past the soldiers, as if it was as easy as sweeping a dusty floor. One of the spectators recalled something and shouted at the top of his lungs,
That is the enemy of the world!
Terror filled everyone by that single phrase. Soldiers no longer moved, despite the commands from their superiors. The spectators began stepping back, and the state workers started to struggle to leap from the platform. Only a single man, the Inquisitor of Heresy, stood before Sung Chul.
Who dares disrupt the holy procession of the God of Order?
Sung Churl's only reply was a single blow from his hammer.
Wham!
The Inquisitor's upper body was crushed and embedded into the ground, but the Inquisitor of Heresy was a man blessed by the God of Order. He was the embodiment of holy strength. His broken form was reborn to its original shape under a blinding light. The soldiers of the Order of Purity watched the holy scene with tears in their eyes.
Oh, look and see! The Inquisitor of Heresy, Maxima Magnus, has received the blessing of God!
However, resurrection did not resolve the root of the problem. Sung Chul fixed the issue of Maxima's resurrection with a very simple method.
Slam! Slam! Slam!
It was to whack away at him until he died. The final thing that Maxima witnessed was an irrational hammering and a similarly irrational strength behind it. Maxima continued to resurrect until the seventh time, upon which he died, flat as a pancake. Inquisitors of heresy are definitely cockroaches. Sung Churl, who had killed the Inquisitor, headed towards Altugius, who had been restrained to the execution grounds. No one dared to stand in his way. Altugius looked at Sung Churl with shock in his eyes.
Are you the enemy of the world?
Sung Churl nodded, then spoke bluntly. But why does that matter? It was a simple sentence. Altugius was taken aback by the excessively haughty phrase, yet simply smiled. However, the danger had not yet passed. The ground troops of the Human Empire swarmed to the execution grounds by teleportation and on foot.
There! The enemy of the world! Engage with all forces to stop him!
Elite fighters and mages numbering in the hundreds gathered with Sung Churl in their sights. Altugius looked at them, coughed, and then spoke.
Shit! Leave me and go. You should at least be able to save my granddaughter, right? Isn't that so?
Sung Churl freed Altugius from his restraints, then spoke in a firm voice.
No one can stop me from doing what I intend to do.
As soon as the final word escaped his lips, a blood-curdling scream pierced high into the sky, and a black mass rose into the air like a cloud of locusts. They were the invasion forces of the demon realm, summoned through the dimensional door. The soldiers of the air fleet that had surrounded Sung Churl with glee fell back into a defensive position and began to shout,
"It is the demons! The demons are here! Raise the alarm!"
A hurried sound of bells rang into the air, causing Airfruit to descend into chaos. Sung Churl took that opportunity to grab Altugius and disappeared in the madness.
"The enemy of the world! You shall not escape!"
There was one who followed after them. It was the orphaned Kaz. He had taken on his mist form, a technique passed down within his family, to transform into a fog and stalk Sung Churl. However, transforming into fog did not make him immune to Sung Churl's attacks. Sung Churl lightly swung Falgaraz, splitting the fog, and it did not reform again. The fog soon took a human shape and fell onto the floor. Sung Churl, who had rid himself of all the pests, now fled towards the observatory of the School of Cosmomancy with Altugius. It was time for Altugius to keep his promise.
"I will not judge you for who you are. I would have helped you even if you were the devil himself, as the only one that extended a hand of salvation was you alone."
Altugius spoke the words in a simple manner before removing the magic-suppressing cuffs. As he felt the power of magic flowing back into him, he pointed towards the roof of the observatory.
"Glare!"
The beam of light shot from his extended finger easily tore away the plaster on the roof. Dust fell onto the floor, and in the midst of the rain of dust, Sung Churl could see the glittering constellations beneath the plaster. After Altugius revealed all the constellations, he spoke in a solemn voice.
"That is the secret passed down within the School of Cosmomancy."
Altugius displayed his glare once again. The beam of light which was fired from his hands accurately hit a gem arranged into a constellation, covering the entire constellation in a bright light. Once it received enough light, it fired a beam of light into another gem in another constellation. From the scorpion to the unicorn to the oyster, once all 12 of the constellations were lit, Sung Churl was gripped by a strange feeling, as if a secret he could never come to comprehend was revealing itself to him.
Primordial light!
The true secret of cosmomancy was now in his grasp.
"Don't put your guard down now. The real challenge has yet to begin,"
Altugius gave a warning. Sung Churl would soon know the meaning behind his words. A tidal wave of overwhelmingly massive knowledge descended onto his consciousness. Within his mind, he experienced being different existences. First, he was a comet existing within the infinite void of space. He felt fearful of the unending journey, trapped in frozen isolation that was colder than ice, and when the scenery changed, he was but a rock within the unnamed comet. Time went by very quickly for the rock. The sun and the moon spun past like the hands of a clock, and he saw the unceasing rotation of light and darkness. Everything changed once the scenery suddenly collapsed around him, but the flow of time didn't change. Various experiences of a similar nature occurred. The one thing that he would never forget within all of the countless, yet equally memorable worlds of wondrous fantasy was the existence of the giant sun. Abruptly, he stood facing the exploding sun. It looked like the sun, but at a second glance, it felt like it was simply a different star that only resembled the sun. It looked ablaze in a golden flame, but once the bias that clouded his judgment faded away, he saw that the fiery light now appeared blue and sometimes seemed to cover the surface in pure white like snow. Regardless of what color it actually was, the most important thing was the unending light pouring from the burning star. Just by looking upon the light composed of primordial might, Sung Cho was able to sense the source of an unforgettable power. Even after this experience, the various knowledge continued to invoke different hallucinations to project different experiences, but Sung Cho only remembered that infinite light, that primordial light. Sung Cho let out a shallow sigh as his eyes flew open. He came back to reality as the torrent of various knowledge that had flooded his mind faded away.
"Have you seen the light?"
Altugius looked at him softly as he guarded Sung Churl's side. Sung Churl nodded in response.
"What light was it?"
"A very bright light."
"What did you experience there?"
"Oppressive strength that could burn everything away."
Altugius smiled faintly at Sung Churl's responses.
"They say that the light changes based on the observer's perception. The light I saw was wisdom itself. But that is not what matters to you."
Altugius pointed a finger to the air, creating several floating magic formations and starting to mumble a spell. The 12 constellations in the observatory dimmed, and within the light came out a single tome. Altugius slowly guided the tome down with his staff and handed it to Sung Churl after grabbing it.
"Take it."
"This is
primordial light. It is the secret of Airfruit School of Cosmomancy that you have sorely sought."
"Thank you."
Sung Cho graciously received the tome. A message in bright letters appeared before him. Primordial Light. Rank. Legend. Type. Magic Book. Effect. Acquisition of Primordial Light. Cosmomancy. Note. The light that you saw contains everything you imagined and more. Restriction. 500 intuition. Requirement. Stand before the light. The secret of cosmomancy was not at a level he could simply access.
"To gain a glimpse into this book, it requires two things. One is the ever-present requirement for intuition. 500 intuition in total."
It was a fearsome number. A stat requirement worthy of the secret of cosmomancy.
"Is it a seventh circle magic?"
Sung Chul's eyes lit up brightly as he asked. Altugius nodded his head.
"You know well. As expected of the enemy of the world."
"What's the other requirement?"
"You've already met it. Haven't you seen the light?"
Altugius spoke as such as he turned his concern beyond the window. There was the sound of war in the distance, the sound of demonic drums, the magical bombardment of the air fleet, the battle cry of humans and the roar of demons. Sung Churl also noticed that the light peering in from the window was turning a red tint. The sun was beginning to set. What appeared to be a brief experience consumed quite a bit of time, as Altugius had warned.
"My part in this is complete. All that is left is up to you."
"Thank you."
"Don't mention it. Anyways, where is Sarasa? I had only heard that she is in a safe location."
"She's already in the outskirts of the city. I'll lead you there personally."
Sung Churl pulled out his beloved Falgaraz and led the way. Altugius followed behind and broke out into laughter.
"I guessed it might be possible, but for you to actually be the enemy of the world. I thought you were a rare sort, but I would never have imagined you were someone so great."
"I am nothing special,"
Sung Churl said as he flung open the doors of the School of Cosmomancy. When the doors flung open, the chaos that was the campus of Airfruit unfolded before their eyes. The demons covered the sky, and the fleet of the human empire that opposed them were in the midst of fighting the final battle to decide their fate.
Kee!
Sharp talons of a monstrous flock swooped down towards Sung Churl and Altugius.
Wham!
The monsters turned into a bloody paste and dropped to the ground in a fine mist when Sung Churl swung his hammer. A single one survived to fly off into the sky once again. However, the monster did not realize that there were two unwelcome riders on his back, Altugius and Sung Churl.
Hold on tight!
Sung Churl tightened his grip on the monster's neck and turned to the side. The creature let out a pained cry as he turned toward the direction directed by Sung Churl. He continued to freely control the creature with his grip tightly on its neck. Altugius watched the scene with wide eyes and asked,
"Just when did you learn this?"
"If you hang around the demon realm long enough, you just pick up a few things."
At that moment, a squad of dragon knights flew past the monster from the other side. The man with a golden helmet turned to the side to see Sung Churl and Altugius, and his eyes were dyed in shock, but they could not chase after the monster. One of the demons had broken into a warship of the air fleet and was engaging in close-quarter combat. Capturing the enemy of the world was their mission, but the military had a standing order which preceded any other order, ensuring the survival of the fleet.
Shit! There's no end to them! What is the scale of the dimensional door to allow so many demons to pass through?
It was enough to have the fleet commander of the Second Armada of the Human Empire, Dmitry Medyov, foaming at the mouth. The enemy of the world that he had been hunting for had appeared, yet he had to deal with the demons that had gathered like flies. It would be simple enough to deal with ordinary demons, but it looked as though their opponents were a seasoned force that had been prepared for a while. The sheer quality and quantity of the enemy forces were difficult for the common soldier to deal with. They were only managing to fight to a standstill because they were the powerful air fleet of the Human Empire.
Are you the leader?
A Balrog with a bulky frame stood on the deck of the warship. Dmitry Medyov pulled out his rapier and stood against the demon while grinding his teeth.
Shit! Quickly send out the ground forces and demolish the dimensional gate. Do it before they bring in more of their kin.
The Balrog's axe flew toward him. Dmitry parried the massive axe blade and let loose a powerful battle roar. As the battle continued to devolve into greater chaos, the monster carrying Sung Churl and Altugius landed on the outskirts of the city. Or more accurately, Sung Churl had broken its neck to force it to crash land. Sung Churl and Altugius put the corpse of the monster with twitching wings behind them as they approached an aged shrine. A girl with a face that was partially decayed waited for them.
Grandpa!
It was Sarasa. Altugius lovingly looked at the girl's grotesque face and hugged her deeply.
You went through so much trouble.
Tears hung on the rim of Altugius's eyes.
What trouble? Grandpa went through all of it.
Sarasa firmly gripped on to her grandfather's back.
There isn't much time, Sung Churl interrupted.
He had pulled out a sack filled with gold coins and gems from his soul storage and pushed it towards Altugius.
All this?
It is my tuition.
That and this?
Don't worry about it. It isn't even my money.
Even so?
When you sell these coins, I suggest you erase the coin's mint from its surface. If you're unlucky, the assassins from the Allied Merchants Guild will track you.
Sung Churl moved to leave with these words. Altugius called out to him once again.
Can I ask one thing?
Sung Churl stopped without looking back. Altugius looked at his back as he asked his question.
Why would someone so powerful like you learn magic underneath someone like me?
I need magic in order to kill the Demon King, Max Hesnius. That is all.
Just for that reason?
Is that all the reason why you admitted yourself into Airfruit and acted like a freshman?
Sung Churl nodded. It was ludicrous, but it was persuasive because it was coming from Sung Churl. Altugius thought as such before wondering if there was anything more he could do. Soon, something came into mind.
Does your magic power and intuition match with what I saw?
Sung Churl nodded.
Those two numbers match exactly with my current stats. Although I will need to train further to bring down Max.
If that's the case, seek out my son on the Demon Realm battlefront.
Your son?
The kid thinks he's saving the world like you, and left for the battlefront to seek out ways to improve his magic power. If it's you, you might find your own method to grow, but it might grow a little faster with a bit of his knowledge to help you.
Deckard. Sung Churl turned slightly. He never overlooked any method when it came to his growth. Altugius tossed out a single book and a ring from his finger.
It is embarrassing, but the book is my own composition. It is something I created in order to hand down in case I found a talented disciple. Also, show Deckard the ring, and he'll at least give you a listen.
Sung Churl held the ring and Altugius's book and gave a deep bow. Sarasa stepped forward as though she had something to say.
I apologize if I did anything to offend you, and I'll return this child to you.
There was a sky squirrel in her grasp.
Kew, kew!
It looked as though he had adapted to her touch enough to not reject it. Sarasa looked glum, as though she hated the idea of parting from the little beast. Sung Churl looked at her, then spoke calmly.
Take good care of the squirrel.
Huh? You're not taking it?
Sarasa asked in surprise. Sung Churl nodded.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
He then took a deep breath and rushed forward, leaving behind a gust of wind. The powerful whirlwind left in his wake roughly passed through Altugius and Sarasa.
Grandpa, I don't think the rumors are true.
Sarasa spoke quietly.
What do you mean?
I heard that the enemy of the world resents humans the most. But why was he so nice to us?
I'm not sure.
Altugius's meeting with him had been brief, but he had had a small insight into the man named Sung Churl Kim.
It might be that the world had just pegged him wrong.
The man called the enemy of the world was charging toward the center of the bloody battle between the demons and the dragon knights. Thousands upon thousands of soldiers were blocking the road towards his destination, but he freely charged through the heart of the military forces, then entered the opened dimensional door.
The enemy of the world entered the dimensional door!
The soldiers of the human empire shouted hurriedly, but no one existed who could stop him. If there was a single change, it was that no demons appeared after the moment Sung Churl had entered the dimensional portal.
Come.
Sung Churl stood before the thousands of demons that had set up a formation around the dimensional door and blocked their path. No demon dared move towards him. Soon after, Erfrut's dimensional door lost its strength. The incident in Golden City made waves throughout the entirety of Otherworld. The movement of the demons and the reappearance of the enemy of the world. It was a headache for the powerful within Otherworld. One of these powerful figures, Shamal Rajput, the head of the Assassin's Guild, looked upon the disfigured body of a young assassin with cold eyes.
Kaz Almeyra, you were soundly defeated.
Kaz had lost his entire arm from the shoulder down, leaving him in quite a pitiful state. If the blow had been any deeper, he would have been split from his neck. He prostrated himself before the leader with his head bowing towards the floor. Tentacles that resembled the limbs of an octopus were attached to his stump.
You have to continue training. You are the one who will lead the guild the moment I am defeated.
I will keep it in mind.
Also, I will post someone to your side.
Shamal snapped his fingers. Suddenly, the silhouette of a woman appeared in the darkness. Kaz glared at the woman in surprise.
Who is it? This bitch. There was no one like this among the inheritors of the four families.
Shamal's next words cleared up his confusion.
She's a regressor.
A regressor?
That's right. She is a regressor from a future that is most likely to occur. She is still quite lacking, but with enough effort, she will be someone who will do great work for us.
Shamal gestured with his hand for her to stand before Kaz. She stood before Kaz with a hooded face, then spoke with an elegant voice ill-fitting for an assassin.
I am called Amuge.
This is the end of Enemy of the World, a Podium Audio production. If you enjoyed this audiobook, we would love for you to rate and review it. For more sci-fi lit RPG, check us out at podiumaudio.com and sign up for our newsletter. We promise we won't spam you. Also, consider joining our community of listeners, fans, and trolls on social media.
We're active on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. We'd love to connect. You have been listening to Enemy of the World, Book 1 of Main Character Hides His Strength, produced by Emily Durr, written by Road Warrior, performed by Nick Podell. Text copyright 2016 by Road Warrior. Production copyright 2020 by Podium Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.